Well, one day that will take place, amen? There's going to be that exchange that takes place from bearing our cross to taking time to enjoy the blessings and the rewards of the Lord in His presence. And that day may not be too far, far away. We're glad you're with us this morning. Are you glad to be here? Say amen. I'm just doing that to find out if you're out there all right, if everybody's awake. And we're glad you're here. If you'd open up your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 3, very, very familiar verse of Scripture. Most of you guys could probably quote it. And we're going to begin a new study here over the next several weeks on a generous life. And the word generous means one that is unselfish. How is your life? Do we live an unselfish life? I mean, we're Christians, and we're supposed to be followers of God. He set the example for us that we're to be following, correct? And let me ask you, is God generous? Yeah, He is. Is He unselfish? No, He's not unselfish. Or is He? Is He? I'm just checking with people here. He is selfish, right? No, He's not. He is unselfish, all right? Have I got you guys confused yet? God is an unselfish God, and He wants us to be a people that are unselfish, people that are abundant and liberal in our giving of ourselves, willing to sacrifice. He was willing to sacrifice His Son for us. He's wanting us to sacrifice ourselves for one another. So that gets into what we would call a generous life, someone who's willing to lay down their life, the Bible says, for the brethren. So before you and I can enjoy this generous life, we need to understand exactly what that entails, not only in teaching, but by example. Now, how many of you, when you are being taught something new, want somebody to explain to you how it's done? Say amen. Amen. How many of you like it when they explain it to you and then also show it to you? Amen. That's how I am. Years ago, I think I've shared before, I went to work at a chemical factory. First day on the job, I had no idea with all of these gauges and all these different things going on, all these samples we had to take. And the guy looked at me and he saw probably an overwhelmed look on my face because he's just throwing information out to me. And he says, Kevin, he goes, ease up. He goes, you don't have to learn all of this stuff right now. I will continually instruct you on how to do it, and I will go through it and show you how to do it so that when the time comes, I will depart, you'll be there, and you'll be able to do the same exact same thing to another person that comes around later. That's how I like it. I want somebody to take the time to show me how to do something, it's warm in here, how to reach over here and press a button one or two times to get the temperature to cool down right here, all right, and right here. And I know how to do that because somebody showed me one day. They told me, and then they showed me. And God wants you and I to enjoy this generous life. And He's not only going to show us what He wants from us in His Word, He's going to show us how to do it. So as we get into this series, in this area, on this generous life, I want us to ask God's blessing upon it, and then we'll get into John chapter 3. So let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer very quickly here. Our Father, as we open up the Scriptures this morning, may we see a very familiar passage, one that shows just how generous our God is, and that He wants us that freely we have received, You said, freely give. And we ask, Father, that You'll receive the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. When we get into this type of lifestyle that God is instructing us in on this, being generous, being liberal, being unselfish, it gets into what we would call stewardship. We are the stewards. God has given us things that we're responsible for. And when we think of stewardship, sometimes we think of money. It's more than money, folks. It's not just your treasure, it's your time. Being willing to sacrifice by giving to missions, as you all have been doing, we're up doing great in our missions giving, because people have sacrificed through stewardship to give, and because of love. But it also involves our time. We have to be willing to sacrifice for our families, for friends, neighbors, whatever it is. So there's the stewardship of time, but there's also the stewardship of talent. People being able to play the piano, they're sacrificing their talent to use their talent for our good. Amen? Aren't you glad? Because if you're not, we're going to have Brother Glenn come up with a closing invitation special for you. And then you'll start, we begin. So we have all of these things, and I want us to consider that in this generous life that stewardship is involved, and stewardship is the proof of our love. Keep that in mind. And I want you to notice something here as we look at the first title of the first lesson here is God proved his love by giving. By giving. Generous life. In John chapter 3, most of you could quote this, verse 16. Matter of fact, if you know it, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice in our text here that God gave. But I want you to notice what it says here in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. He declares his love for us, but it doesn't stop at a declaration. He goes on to give his Son. He sacrificed and gave his only begotten Son. Had God said, you know what, I look down on this sin-cursed world, and I love these people. But had he not sent a Savior, we would all have died in our sins and gone to hell, correct? So talking about loving us is one thing. Doing something to show that he loves us is quite another. So God is not a person that just talks the talk. He wants us to walk the walk as he did. So I can sit there and tell you that I love you or I love the brethren. And if I'm not showing it, then it calls into question whether I'm very sincere in it. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in 1 John, he that saith that he loveth God. How many of you love God this morning? Say amen. Amen. He that saith he loveth God and hateth his brother is a liar. Yeah. Wow. See, God's not just looking for lip service of what we love. He wants us to be willing to show that we love. Proof, stewardship is proof of our love, that we're willing to sacrifice. And when we're willing to give, that is a generous life. So God proved his love by giving. And the only true proof that we have of someone's love toward us is their willingness to give or to sacrifice for us personally, or them for us, or us for them. There's a story that I remember a long time ago of a young father and his little boy, and he was taking him. He said, son, we're going to go fishing. This little boy loved to fish. And he goes, daddy, we were going fishing? He goes, yes. He goes, so let's go load everything up. As they're loading everything into the car, he says, son, I want you to know, daddy loves you so much. He goes, I know, daddy, I know. So they get everything loaded up, and they get in the car, and they're driving along as they're heading towards the lake. And as they're getting close to the lake, dad looks over, he goes, man, this is going to be fun, son. He goes, it is, daddy. He goes, son, I love you so much. He goes, I know, daddy, I know. So they get to the lake, and they get out of the car, and they unload all their gear. And as they're getting ready to go for the walk to the lake, he goes, come on, son, I love being with you. I love you. And he goes, I know you do, daddy. And they're walking to the lake, and they get their lines set up, and they cast out into the lake, and they both are sitting there quietly waiting for the fish to bite. And he says, son, I love you. He goes, I know you love me, daddy. He goes, son, how do you know I love you? Because I tell you I love you all the time? He goes, no, daddy. Because you take me fishing all the time. He showed his love. He didn't just talk the love, but he was willing to take time out of his schedule to do things for him. That's at a small level. And folks, God loves you. He's told us time and time and time and time again, I love you. I love you, Janet. I love you, Betty, Peggy, I love you. He goes on telling how much he loves us. But you know what? How do we know he loves us? Because he told us? No, because he showed us. He sacrificed for us. For God so loved Herb. How do we know that? That he gave his only begotten Son for Herb. This is a generous life. This is the life of our God. And this is the God who is our life and wants us to live accordingly. The best example of love we can see is God the Father giving His only begotten Son. I want us to look at three things here this morning on God proved His love by giving. And I believe that stewardship is the proof of our love. And I want you to notice three things. Number one, God proved His love by, number one, giving Christ. Turn, if you would, if you're still in John, over to verse 35. And I want you to notice here something that's important in this verse. It's following on the heels of John 3:16, where God gave His Son for the world. But in John chapter 3 and verse number 35, notice what it says here. The Father loveth the Son. God the Father, it says here, loves God the Son. I mean, we know that God loves us, don't we? But here He's making it very clear. He says, the Father loveth the Son, and look what He does. How do we know He loves the Son? Because He just said He did? No. And hath given all things into His hand. You see, before He ever gave His Son for us, He had already given the whole to Jesus Christ, His Son. Everything that was His, He says, Son, it's yours. I give it all to you. It's yours. The Father is a God of giving. No wonder Jesus Christ was willing to lay down His life. He had the supreme example. He watched His Father. I'll tell you what, when that little boy grew up, what kind of a father do you think he was to his son? I'll guarantee you he was a father who told his son that he loved him, but his son, which would be the grandson to the father, wouldn't know that he loves him because he only told him. He would know it because that son had watched his father and was doing exactly what his father did, and he would be ministering, meeting to the needs, and sacrificing for his son. Folks, who are we observing in our Christian walk? Who are we resembling in our Christianity? We're talking about a generous life. I pray that the Holy Spirit would show us if there's areas in our lives personally that really don't resemble God as much as they could. And it's not because He hasn't told us how to do it. And it's not because He hasn't showed us how to do it. It's just that we haven't been focused on Him. Remember, in 2 Corinthians, we just read at the beginning of the service that we are to live for Him who died for us. He set the example. He set the tone of how you and I should walk. God loved Christ so much that He was willing to give Him all things. Not only all things as far as the creation and the universe as a gift to Him, but I want to tell you, Jesus says, when He told the disciples to go out into the world and preach the gospel, He says that all power, listen to what He says, hath been given unto Me. Where did He get that power, that authority from? The Father. So we see this generous life is a life that begins with not only loving in word, but giving sacrificially. The Father gave everything to the Son. So God loves Christ so much that He's willing to give Him all things. Verse 35, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. But you know what? God loved mankind so much that He was willing to give His Son. He gave His Son all things, and then He gives His Son for you and me. We sing the hymn, Amazing Love. And it really is, folks. It's an amazing love because it's not just in word, it's in deed at the same time. God loved you and I so much that He was willing to give His only begotten Son. Flip over to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Paul says in Romans 5, in verse number 8, he says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, He says that Christ died for us. We're still talking about God proved His love by giving Christ. He gave Christ all things. And then on top of that, He loves us. And He tells us that He loves us. But then He proves that He loves us by commending or manifesting or showing His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. He didn't tell me to go home and get cleaned up and try to get right and then come back and see if I'm acceptable. God wasn't looking for me to become acceptable to Him. I couldn't become acceptable. I could change my life. I could quit doing, you know, we can go through reformations and we can go to rehabs and we can get straightened out on alcohol and drugs and clean up and come out of the gutter and dress right and put on the right, you know, aftershave and everything. And yet we're still not right with God, because it's not an outward change that needs to take place. It's an inward taking place of a new nature. And I can't change it. The Bible says that a leper cannot change his spots. It's unnatural for him to do that. And it's unnatural for a sinner to become righteous of his own accord. And so God, because of His love for us, not only loved us, but He commended, He manifested, He showed, He gave His love towards us, and that He sent Christ while we were still in rebellion against Him. When I was still bringing His name, His holy name, down to the level of a four-letter curse word, He still loved me. And He still manifested that love toward me. Even as I was telling Him to, you know, God, you know, He's still saying, I sent my Son for you still, Kevin. God proved His love by giving. God loved mankind so much He was willing to give us His only begotten Son. Folks, there is no sacrifice that God could have given that is greater than His Son. I have given to my Son all things. I love my Son, therefore I give Him all things. I love you guys so much that I'm going to give my Son, whom I've given all things, for you. So when you receive my Son, you inherit all things that have been given unto Him as well. We shall rule and reign with Him, the Bible says, one day. Anybody here ever see the movie? It's a movie of a true story. It's called Itau. Anybody ever seen Itau? One, two. John, you're the only one. Wow. We need to bring that in here and watch it here as a church. Itau is a video of a missionary endeavor. True, it was through New Tribe Missions. A couple of missionaries that went to Papua New Guinea back in the earlier days in a very, very tribal area, and began to try to reach these people with the gospel. Long story short, they developed a curriculum, which is out today. We've used it before. It's a one-year curriculum that takes you from creation all the way to the cross of Christ. And they realize that that's how Jesus taught. In the beginning, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. So John, before he ever takes us to the gospel of John 3:16, takes us all the way back to creation and brings us forward. Jesus, on the road to Emmaus, began speaking to those guys concerning Moses and the prophets and all that were in the Psalms, and he brought them up to where he was at. So in this study, they did a chronological study, and they began teaching these people about creation and all these different areas, trying to bring them to the cross. They come to Genesis chapter 22, the story of Abraham and Isaac being offered up as his son, and as his son as a sacrifice. And as they get to that story, the people on the video are just enthralled with what's happening. That Abraham has to take his only son, whom he loves, and he offers him on the altar, and he's getting ready to slay him, and he's getting ready to slay them. God provides the lamb, the ram, if you remember. And they are amazed that God provided for Abraham's son. They keep going back to creation at the same time, blood offerings and stuff. They get up to the point of Christ now, after many days of teaching. They come to Calvary, and Jesus is getting ready to go up Calvary. And as they're getting ready to, he's referring back to Calvary, and he's taking them back to Genesis 22 and Abraham offering his son. And now here is God's son getting ready to be offered. And he stops and he asks the people, what do you think God is going to do? And they're thinking, and it's interesting, it says that they rub their noses when they think. He goes, so you're looking out there and they're all going like this. And as they're thinking, one of them goes, God is going to send a substitute for his son so his son doesn't have to die like Abraham, he did for Abraham. They go on with the story and they see that Jesus Christ is crucified and dies and is buried. these people all start weeping. They're mourning. And as they are in this mourning, he gets them to quiet down, and he tells them that Jesus Christ was the substitute for us. He was Genesis, that lamb that took your place there is the one lamb that's taking our place here. And all of a sudden, these native people start rubbing their noses again. And one of the tribal leaders jumps up and he starts shouting out the word Etau, Etau, Etau. And all of a sudden, people start jumping up and hollering Etau, which means it is true, it is true. He loves us, but he proved his love by sending a substitute for our sins. And it's an incredible. They were so, the tribe got so excited, and all of them, if not most, if not all, got converted. They went over to the missionaries, were picking them up and carrying them and jumping them up and down for over 2 hours because of receiving eternal life. Oh, that we might get a little flavor of that kind of excitement today, amen? They get excited about God's love and what he did for us. That God proved his love by giving Christ. Secondly, we want to see something is because the Father taught the Son that I love you in word, but also in example. Now we see, number two, Christ proved his love. Christ, the Son, is going to live the life of the Father. Christ proved his love by giving himself. Look what it says in John chapter 14. Go back to John 14. In this text here, we read one verse in particular, the very last verse of the chapter before Jesus gets into teaching on the true vine. He says, but that the world may know, watch this, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, he says, let's go hence. Christ proved his love by giving himself. Christ proved his love toward God the Father in keeping his commandments and doing what he was instructed to do. Obedience. The children have a song, O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to what? Show that you believe. Christ proved his love by giving himself. And he was proving it first off, folks, to the Father. We know that he loves us. Amen. The Bible tells us he ever lives to make intercession for us. But I want you to notice that the Bible makes it very clear, but that the world may know that I love the Father. We always think about the love of the Father to the Son. But here we see that Jesus is saying, I love my Father. Why? Why does Jesus love his Father? He saw the love of the Father to him. He heard his Father instruct him, I love you. He saw his Father sacrifice and give him all things because of his love. And now he says, I'm doing this. I'm giving myself for you because I love him. Christ proved his love to God the Father by offering himself. Christ proved his love towards you and me, to us, by offering himself in our place. And hence we have 1 John chapter 3. We have John 3:16. There's no question that God, for God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. But in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God. How? Because he laid down his life for us. Did you catch that play on words, folks? Here we can perceive the love of God. God the Father or God the Son? Jesus Christ, folks, was God. He was God manifest in the flesh. Hereby perceive we the love of God. How do we know? That he laid down his life for us. God laid down his life for us. He proved his love for us. He loves us. He lets us know that he loves us. But I want you to understand, he shows us that he loves us. The Father says, I love you, Son, and I'm going to show you that I love you. The son says, I love you, Father, and I'm going to show you that I love you by obeying what you've called me to do. The son says, I love you, folks, but I'm going to lay down my life for you. I'm going to give myself as a sacrifice for you. Folks, this is what we're calling a generous life. This is not selfishness. This is complete unselfishness. And many times Christians, listen, don't even appreciate the love of God. We take it for granted. We just go about our life living the way we want, saying that we love Him and yet not proving it. We can talk the talk, but are we living the word? And sometimes it's not because we don't have the examples that we're not paying attention. Our eyes are focused on something else. You know, there was a time in the ministry of Jesus who came here as God incarnate because of His love for the Father when Satan, listen, the enemy, tried to get Him to get His eyes off the Father. And he was led of the Spirit, Spirit-led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days. And for 40 days, he was tempted to do this and to do that. And one of the temptations was, turn these stones to bread. And he says, man shall not live by bread alone. Some of us spend more time focused on eating than on feasting on the heavenly manna of God's word. Some of us, our manna diet, our spiritual diet is zilch, or hit and miss at the best. Lack of love. Lack of love. You can make all kinds of excuses. My schedule. No, it's a lack of love. But I love the Lord. Keep my commandments. He that keepeth my commandments, he is he it is that loveth me. And he shall be loved of my Father. And I and my Father will make ourselves manifest to him. Look what he says here in this area here of 1 John 3:16 as we continue. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. Now watch. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, how do we know we're supposed to lay down our lives for the brethren? Number one, God just said it, did he not? Number two, he showed us when he laid down his life for us. You see, Christ will never ask you and I to do anything that he himself has not first done by example. And God the Father would have never asked his son to do anything that he first did not instruct his son to do and set the example to do. The example, the teaching, the example. The teaching, the example. Now it drops onto our lap that we've received the teaching and the example. Are we teaching? And are we setting the example? Jesus said, I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. Did you catch that when we were reading that earlier? He said, I want the world to know that the world may know that I love the Father and keep His commandments. Do we want the world to know? Do we want them to see a standard, an example being lived out by us? Not only preaching and teaching the truth, but living it as well. I don't think that there's a sacrifice greater that could have been given than God the Father giving His Son and for Christ Himself to lay down His life for us. Christ could not have given a greater sacrifice than Himself. God proved His love by giving. This is what we call a generous life. Christ proved His love by giving. That is a generous life. That brings us to our third point. We, you and I, prove our love by giving ourselves. By giving ourselves. In 1 John, since we're already there, the primary object of your love and mine should be God because of His love for us. In 1 John chapter 4, the Bible tells us here in verse number 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the covering. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected, or it matures in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love. Now watch. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Did you catch what's happening here? For us to talk about being that God is the love of our life, if you would, it will be manifested by our love for each other. We will be loving each other with the love of God. When we receive God as our Savior, the Holy Spirit, we all know, comes and indwells within us. He's there. He's never leaving. With that, he brings eternal life. He's the eternal Spirit. He leads us into all truth, the Bible says, and understanding. He will guide us and lead us. But he also brings his personality, because he's in us. And the personality is what we call the fruit of the Spirit. And the first thing on that list of the fruit is what? Love. The love of who? My love? No, God's love. I now have God's love in me, the ability to share that as I walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if I deny my flesh and its appetites and walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will develop more and more and more. You see, we have hunger is natural. How many of you ever get hungry? Raise your hand. How many of you might be getting hungry right now? Raise your hand. We have hunger. And then we have, which is something that God gave us, which is natural. And then we have what we call appetite. Appetite and hunger are actually two different things. Hunger is natural. Appetite is developed. How many of you eat after 8 o'clock? Not because you're hungry, but because you've developed an appetite. Anybody ever do that here? All right, now let me bring it closer to home. Before I was concerned about my being type 2 diabetes, I would love to go in and have cookies. And it seemed like that the desire and the hunger and the urge for Oreos or chocolate chips, anything that could be dipped in milk, would hit me around 8 o'clock in the evening. And you know what? I would yield to that, not hunger, appetite. I developed an appetite that at such and such a time, I'm going to get up from whatever I'm doing, go in, and you don't worry about how many servings it is. Because whether you do it at one serving or 10, you're still going to eat them all anyway, right? So the way you measure how much a serving is by how big your middle finger and your thumb can grab, like that. And then you pull out and you think, okay, while I'm walking to get milk, I'll eat one here. So I have these still left. And then you go get your, I'm just trying to explain an appetite. All right? Now that appetite, the more I went in each night, became more and more developed. It became stronger to where if I said, you know, I can't do that anymore, you know what, so I'm not going to do that anymore. And those cookies are still in there. At 8 o'clock, I said, I'm not going to do that. It was calling me. Kevin, we miss your fingers, you know. And folks, I'll tell you what, all joking aside, the majority of times that we feed our appetites, the stronger they become, the more we yield to them. And it's hard. It's what we call giving up surrendered ground. We're supposed to tear down these strongholds that develop in us, whether it's food or anything else, bitterness, anger, whatever. But when I begin to resist that, I resist just that one time, and I didn't have any cookies tonight. You know what? That didn't do away with the appetite, but it did weaken it by one time. And the more times I resist it and resist it and resist it to where, you know what, I'm going to be brave. Honey, don't bring any more cookies home now. And then when there's no cookies there and that appetite arises and there's no cookies, I'm mad at my wife. It's her fault. But when we receive Christ as our Savior, we've had the natural man who has his appetites, folks. And we have the new man that comes in, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. And he says, you know, I could pick and choose who I love, right? Jesus said, you have heard it been written of them of old, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. That's our natural way, folks. He says, but I said, you love your enemy. Do good to them. Folks, we're not even doing good for those people that we love sometimes because of selfishness. He tells us to do good for them that hate us and use us. It changes. Because now we're living a life that is a generous life. We've seen the Father live it. He declares His love. He shows His love. We see the Son declares His love. He shows His love. And now He's passed it down to us. You and I are to declare, God, we love You. How do we show it? By loving the brethren. By loving each other. Now watch here in these verses here. Look at verse number 19. We love Him because He first loved us. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? This commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So we have been instructed by God to love our brethren. And then he says, but it goes past just me teaching you. I've showed you how to love. Now I want you to demonstrate that love by loving the brothers in Christ. There should be nothing that's been done to us by a brother or sister in Christ. And I'm not saying that you and I have not ever been ill-treated by a brother or sister in Christ. I'll guarantee you, many of us have. They did it to Christ even. We are to be partakers of the fellowship of His sufferings at times. But I want to tell you, folks, we need to not just talk about how much we love God. It's going to have to be demonstrated if we're really living a generous life. Remember John 3:16, 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God because He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He goes on to explain what it means to lay down your life for the brethren. The very next verse says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love is action. Love is sacrifice. Love is giving. And God says, the Father showed it to the Son. The Son's demonstrated it to us. He says, now we must continue on this Christian life here in this world by demonstrating it to those that are around us, the brethren, but also to the lost world. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. The only problem, my pastor used to say years ago, the only problem with a living sacrifice is that it can crawl off the altar. And so Paul says, we must die daily. I die daily. Our love for others should show itself in a willingness, listen, to give to others. If there's a need and you have the means to meet a need, there should be no question. Because as stewards, it's God's anyway, correct? Everything we have is God's. Remember, the Father said that He loved the Son, and proof of His love, what did He do? He gave Him what? All things. You see, all the things that the Son had came from the Father. All the things that you and I have come from the Father. No wonder He was saying, you know what, Father, You gave me all things. I'm going to give all these things to these people. And now He's saying it comes to us. Let's bring it down to where the rubber meets the road. In practical Christianity is everyday living. If there's a need that arises of a brother that you know of, that God brings into your realm of life, you have the means to meet it. There should be no question, no reasoning going on. We should just say, God gave me this, means I'm going to meet that need. That's evidence of our love. And he divides them on that day, the sheep from the goats. And he tells them over here on this side, you know, you guys came to me when I was in prison. You visited me. You fed me when I was hungry. You gave me to drink when I was athirst. And he goes on with this list of things, and all of the people that he's talking to stop and they say, wait, Lord, when did we see thee in prison and come to visit with you? And Lord, when did we give you food? When did we see you hungry and give you food? When did we see you thirsty and give you drink? We've never seen you in any of those situations. He says, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You see, that story that Jesus, that teaching there, that parable, is a future thing. How many of you have seen Jesus before? No, I didn't think so. None of us have. So that means you've never seen him hungry or thirsty to minister to him. He said, but when you see those that are the least in need and you do it to them, he goes, you've done it to me. You've done it to me. And then he turned over to the people over here, the ones that were the goats, and he says, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you never gave me drink. When I was in prison, you never visited me. And they said, Lord, when did we ever see you in these situations? He says, when you saw the brethren in those areas and you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it to me. The proof of your love. It's a generous life that God wants us to live. He wants us to be good stewards of every area, time, talent, treasure, to be able to be people that prove our love, not by saying, I love God, but he says, by showing it. Showing it. It goes far above words. We must love in word and in deed and in truth, he tells us. 2 Corinthians 8, and I'll close with this. 2 Corinthians 8. You know, we get wrapped up in thinking that Christianity only extends to coming on Sunday morning church. Maybe Sunday night if we make it back, and Wednesday nights. We're doing pretty good. And sometimes we do this and sometimes we do that. But God is talking about a lifestyle here, a continual lifestyle that is a continual sacrificial life, showing that we love him by what we're doing. Our love just goes up vertically, is being displayed horizontally. And this is the kind of love that he wants from us. As Paul was writing to the church here at Corinth, he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, of course he was going to send Titus to come and help with the work and some things, and things have been said about the church, how great a church it was, in spite of their fleshly things. And in the last verse of chapter 8, look what Paul, the Spirit of God has Paul write. He says, wherefore show ye to them, and before the churches, look at the phrase here, the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. You see, Paul had gone around, and we all know how the church at Corinth was pretty carnal in a lot of areas. They had all the spiritual gifts, by the way. The Bible says they came behind in no gift. This was the church that was had all the spiritual gifts, and yet he says they were carnal. They were fleshly. So having the gifts doesn't make you a spiritual church necessarily. But Paul said, I've been going around boasting about you guys. And by the way, boasting can be good sometimes, because the word boasting here means to glory. He says, I was going around glorying about the good things about you guys. And he goes, now, he goes, I've got these people, these churches out here that know about you. You got Titus and some of these guys that are coming to see you. And the Spirit tells him, he says, show ye to them. Did you catch that? Show ye to them. Don't tell them anything. Show them everything. Show ye to them what? The proof of your love. And God, I believe today, is calling out for the church. Regency in particular, because that's where we're at today. It's show and tell time. I remember as a kid in elementary school, they had show and tell. Anybody remember those days? And if you were lucky, you were chosen as one of the students on Friday to bring something in from your home to get up in front of the class and show. And you'd always come up with something. You'd say, this was my uncle's. He was over in Germany fighting in such and such a battle. And here's the, you know, this is a different thing that he brought back with him. And we would get excited to see what we could, when it was our turn to get up and declare something that we had to show. Paul's telling the church at Corinth, Paul's telling the church at Arlington today, it's time for us as a church to show to everybody else around here the proof of your love. And if you look up that word proof in the New Testament Greek, it comes up with one long word, demonstrate. Don't tell me that you love me. Demonstrate that you love me. Son, how do you know that I love you? Because I tell you I love you all the time? No, Daddy, because you always do things with me. You demonstrate your love. And God is looking for us, folks, to have this generous life. And that the stewardship is the proof of our love. God proved his love by giving Christ. Christ proved his love by giving himself. And you and I prove our loves in the same way by giving ourselves to the brethren. And we'll see here in the next couple of weeks to the lost and all these different other areas. Folks, how's your love? Have you thanked God lately? Have you thanked God lately for his love that he's shown to you? Have you even thought about his love to you lately? I would pray that this week we might thank him for his love towards us and that we might ask him, Lord, how can I this week demonstrate, prove my love of you, my love for you to somebody else? Let's pray. Father, we come before thee. We thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy that's new every morning. Father, may we see that we can talk the talk about how much we love you. We can sing about it, but you're asking for us to prove it, to be willing to sacrifice in some way to someone, whether it be of our treasure, of our time, maybe an area of talent or service. And sometimes you've even taken it farther, not just the brethren, but those who would despitefully use us to do something good for them, to show our love for you. And when we have done it in your name, to whoever it is, family, friend, associate, stranger, who is my neighbor, may we realize that we've done it to you, Lord. And we ask, Father, that you'll just help us to be sensitive to thy spirit in this area. In Christ's name, amen.